Welcome to the Link Together podcast, a place to unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for Mission and Outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as a development pastor for our campus and the pier. Each episode looks through the lenses of different individuals who share how they live out their faith through their daily lives during the interview segment, Talk to the Hand. Each episode also features a spiritual snack where one word is unpacked for its faith and daily life implications. Special thanks goes out to the rock star of administration, Kelly Rinaldi, for her tireless assistance with PR, and to Keith Van Gore, the audio answer man. You both are appreciated. We also appreciate each of you, our listeners, and we're glad that you've joined us for episode number 8. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, as well as sharing it with others who might find it interesting. We are always looking for more people to listen to the podcast. A new podcast is generally arrives 2 times each month. The Link Together, Connecting Faith and Daily Life podcast, is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all the vibrant ministries, check out our webpage at calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. It is now time for Spiritual Snack. The spiritual snack word for this episode is clean. From an early age, we are taught of the importance of being clean. Don't forget to clean behind your ears. Wash your hands. Go and clean your room are just a few. And as time goes on, we hear more uses of the term clean. When she realized she needed to change jobs, she made a clean break. During those times when you might be getting out of line, you may have been reminded to clean up your act. When you go to the doctor, you hope to get a clean bill of health. When I lifted weights training to play football, we did an exercise called the clean and jerk, which had nothing to do with being clean or a jerk. The word clean has been around for a long time, but today I want to spend some time talking about being spiritually clean. To be cleaned from our sins through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, whose sacrifice helped us to reconnect the bridge back to God from our unclean, sinful ways. It's a gift given to us by the grace of God. In everyday life, we clean things to kill germs left behind on doorknobs, telephones, remote controls, and the dreaded restaurant menu. To keep ourselves physically strong and healthy are great reasons to stay clean. We clean to prevent illness and allergies, and for many, to boost our mental health. Most people like things to be clean. Paying attention to our physical health and cleanliness is important, but so is paying attention to our spiritual health and how clean it is. So how does one go about keeping your spiritual self clean? Step one is realizing that despite what we might believe, nobody, not one of us, is clean all of the time. We make messes. It's inevitable. We make messes of situations and relationships, giant heaps of mess. Messes in large part cannot be totally absent in our lives. At some point or another, we are going to make a mess of things. but we're in luck. There are things that we can do to help curb the number of messes that we make, or at least curb the impact that our messes might have. What we do after we make a mess also matters. Sure, we try to avoid making messes, but the messes do come, and we get dirty and need to be made clean again. We are made spiritually clean with God when we confess the ways that we have fallen short and ask for forgiveness. God forgives us, and we get to reboot, to start again, fresh and new. Doing our best to stay spiritually clean can also help us in our walk of faith that's called life. It involves keeping our minds, hearts, and mouths as clean as possible. It might involve letting go of things we cannot control, owning up to the things we do that may have hurt others, naming and claiming the messes that we create. It could be righting a wrong relationship, seeking forgiveness in the manner through which we were forgiven. It could be offering hot showers of grace to others instead of disgust, anger, and disdain. And from time to time, whether we want to believe it or not, it's going to involve us taking that hot shower of grace when we need it. It's paying attention to your actions and asking yourself if the way that you're acting is a reflection of the person you want to be, or if perhaps you veered off course. It is filling your heart with love for others, for serving others, for being present with others. That leaves precious little room for the stuff that creates messes. That will help us stay spiritually clean. It's being careful with the words that we use and the manner through which we deliver them. Words can hurt. The old saying, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, is certainly true when it comes to words and the messes that our words can create. A good question to ask yourself from time to time with regard to your spiritual well-being might just be, are there areas in my life where I could or need to clean up my act? After that, clean away. It might not be easy, but the cleaner you get, the better able you are to be the person that God created you to be. It does take practice, and you'll never be perfect. But acknowledging that you are prone to messes and identifying what the roots of those messes often are, that all can help you achieve a spiritually clean bill of health. Everyone could use a checkup like that from time to time. Make yourself clean and free yourself from the germs of self-destructive behavior, from the bacteria of anger, jealousy, and vengeance that can infect your relationships and your life, from the illness your words can inflict on others. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit within us. So I invite you to continue the process of making a cleaner version of yourself for the world to see and to experience. Be the person that God created you to be. Be spiritually healthy and clean. Be a beacon of joy, love, peace, forgiveness, and love to a world that's just full of messes. Being spiritually clean in that way is not only healthy, but it is what's most pleasing to God. It is now time for the Talk to the Hand segment. My guest today is Curtis Fargo, who's in leadership at Calvary, owns a small business, and always has lots of plates spinning. Curtis, thank you for being with us today on the Link Together podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. Fun to do something a little different.
Yeah, thank you. So we always like to start by the listeners have a great interest in just giving us like a little slice of your story, sort of as how you came to be a person of faith.
Well, that story started a long time ago when I was a kid, really. Thank goodness, I grew up where I did, up in the Thumb, where nobody gets to slip through the cracks, which is really good because I think I went to 6 different kindergartens. My mom had me when she was 16, and so not always, not that she didn't love me or know, you know, teach me the right things, but you know, general support right there might not have happened as far as going to church and all of that. So Youth for Christ really is what brought me to be a person of faith. That and God always putting people in my life that showed by example, really, what it meant to be, you know, a person of faith, and just by living it. And so really, we always had counselors walking through the hall. You know, Youth for Christ up there is its own entity, and it's, I almost say it's like, you know, our church without walls up there, because there's thousands of kids that get reached every year through that. But they kept me busy, and, you know, through lock-ins at SVSU, Florida trips on spring breaks, you name it, you know, going to Kentucky. I mean, just tons of stuff, a lot of fun stuff. You know, you'd keep kids engaged and interested. Sure. Worked in mission stuff here and there. But really just by them making sure that there was always something for us kids that were at risk to do. Because I don't know what I would have been doing on spring breaks and things like that in my tiny little town, you know, getting mixed up with the wrong crowd and all that. So, yeah, that's really how I became a person of faith, is by seeing the people in my community that took interest in me. Mm-hmm. To make sure that I wasn't one of those kids that fell through the cracks. And honestly, I think you can pick that up in a lot of kids, you know, what their demeanors are and things like that. And mm-hmm. so thank God for them reaching out and always being there.
Yeah, I like to think that... I like to say that if it wasn't for people of faith and people who coached me over the years, I would most certainly have been a statistic with the way that I was brought
up.
Yeah,
that's a great way to put
it. Just grateful. And the whole slip through the cracks thing, that's what really encourages and inspires and really empowers me to want to do mission and outreach and to really reach. Because really, mission and outreach at its base form is filling those cracks that people fall through. Who's fallen through the cracks? What's the need to fill, and how can we do it? So I'm grateful for that opportunity to do that, but thank you for that. So in what specific ways do you see your faith affecting the way that you live your daily life? It could be at work as you run your business, or with clients in your home life when you're coaching, or with friends. In what specific way does your faith affect the way you live your daily life?
Well, it's supposed to govern everything we do, right? Again, I just throw it right back to, you know, the examples I had and growing up. I try to make it every part of my life. You know, driving my car when somebody cuts you off, you know, things like that. Luckily, as I'm an older man now. You know,
happy birthday. It's his birthday as we're recording this.
40 years old today. you know, but you learn. It's just... not worth it to get upset over some things, and sometimes just sitting back and closing your eyes and saying a little prayer can really help those moments. But really, practice. Coaching, I coach football, I coach track. I've gotten significantly better over the years at being able to bring in little faith stories and just outright talking about my faith to the hundreds of kids that I get to coach a year. And again, that's really what I just try to practice it. Do really, really well out when I'm working, when I'm coaching, all that type of stuff. And I think we're going to talk about when we fall short in a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, it does come up. Yeah. Yeah. I like that, you know, practice repetition, not the, I'm going to, reference something that not everyone will get, but not the Allen Iverson version of practice,
right? But the actual about practice,
yeah. But the each and every day, you know, making an effort and continuing to mold and to build and to shape and to
the tough one is those moments when you don't necessarily have the time or you don't, you know, necessarily want to step in, but when sure. you feel the tug mm-hmm. at your heart, or you see that person that, like, boy, mm-hmm. you know, should I say something? Yeah. I think so.
I ripped that Band-Aid off, yeah. So as you think about this, you know, who were some of the people that impacted your faith walk? You already kind of mentioned those counselors and those people who connected with you and sort of believed in you. But those people who modeled living their faith through how they led their lives, So who impacted your faith walk? And then what parts of what you witnessed from them became part of how you live out your faith?
So, yeah, going back to the faith formation days, the number one person in my life would have been Willett Eschker and Sylvia. I can't separate one from the other. But Will and Sylvia, just absolutely amazing people. They've taken in, over their years, well over 30 kids. And again, we're talking about a community I grew up in the Thumb. I mean, we only have 400, 500 people in the whole high school. And so, and over the years that they had done that, they were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. They're both at rest now, you know, sitting up there with God and Jesus and all them. But the willingness, there was a time when I didn't have a place to live. My mother and father had split up, and this is like I was eighth grader, going to be a freshman in high school. My mother and I didn't get along a whole, you know, real well at all. And my dad had gone to jail for a couple of months, and my mom kicked me out. I had no place to go. Will and Sylvia, you know, they took me in. I lived there for 2 years, you know, all the way until I was going to be a junior in high school. And thank God for that.
Sure.
Thank God for that. They were peaceful. They cared. They, you know, there was never a time or a moment that I could ever look back on that if somebody was in need or they thought somebody might be in need, that they didn't immediately run to the situation. Mm-hmm. In that being said, God bless them, you know, more than they could ever, you know, ask for. And that's what they would always say. They never ask for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they were always giving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that right there really changed my life. That turned what we talked about, it could have been a statistic. And but the next person would have been Todd Kramer. He was our direct counselor in high school. And again, just his willingness to take interest in, you know, not only me, but anybody that was. But I think that's an important part. Not only was he just taking an interest in me, but everybody else, but it felt like I was the only interest, mm-hmm. you know, whenever he was around or he was around you. Mm-hmm. And so that's my immediate models. After that, there's always been somebody in my life that kind of, you know, follows that example. I lived down in Ohio. I had a couple of neighbors right out of high school. I lived there 7 or 8 years that I could confide and go to church with and things like that. And then when I moved back here to Michigan, first church I came to was right here. And immediately we had a hippie pastor. And I thought, oh, this is great. You know, this. But that's the feeling, you know, that you get here. I've been here 13, 14 years now at Calvary. And our mindset, you know, really is what the people that I grew up with modeled. Help, be kind, and nobody slips through the cracks. Mm.
Yeah, holy moments with holy people cause shifts in our lives, and the investment that they make in us is maybe not valued in the moment, although it might be, but down the road as you look back, you really recognize those holy moments that your life shifted in a way, and then those people that God placed in your life, the blessing they were to you and the impact that they had that you feel today still, you know, years later now that you're an old man.
Yeah, it's funny how over the years that grows, mm-hmm. right? You know, in the moment when it happens, like it's almost an inconsequential moment, mm-hmm. and then you look back on it years later and you just think, what an earthquake, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So now's the time for the shift. So what areas of your life do you wish reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to those people that you encounter?
Yeah, I think that's a real easy one. For me, being out in public, being around people, that's what God built me to do. And so it's really easy to watch what you're saying, what you're doing when you're, you know, you're out in public and all that. For me, it's at home. You know, right now I've got a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, along with all of the things that I do. Luckily, my wife works for the schools, so she's off during the summer, which can be its own challenges as well, mm-hmm. Shifting back and forth from that. But I do my best, you know, to model all of these things. But I certainly know, you know, I fall short losing my temper at home and, you know, things of that nature. So that's that. When I read that question, that was the one that, that glared me right in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, for definitely sure. At home when nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's another one. When nobody's watching, you know, you stub your toe when nobody's watching or you drop, you know, whatever in the yard that.
Yep.
I know those are the moments I fall real short.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. When my kids, we were talking about our kids before we started recording, and when my kids were your kids' age, I all of a sudden one day said, these little people that I brought into the world, they're absolutely God's binoculars. You know, they see everything that I want them to see and everything that I don't.
That's a surprise, isn't it? Like how much they pick up on. Yeah. I mean, they're almost as bad as the dog who sits there and stares at you, waiting. You know, because they could pick up off your emotions and your, you know, like your facial expressions and all of those things. And it is a shock sometimes to have them come and tug on you.
Like, yeah, it's a great reminder. When you're falling short, and the way I had to deal with it in my own life was. When it would be like they were 4 or 5 or 2, once I felt myself getting kind of worked up, I would look at them and I would go, "Are you 2? Are you acting exactly like a 2-year-old is supposed to act? Is that what you're doing right now to me?" And it really helped to recenter me. You know, it helped to say, "Okay,
yes, you are.
Chill out. Yeah, yes, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to do. You're pressing all my buttons, and you're doing a fantastic job of it. But we can redirect you in some other way."
Yeah, go from 2 girls now. The third one, he's a boy. Libby and I, my wife, we always say, if he would have been the first, he would have been the last.
Oh yeah. Yep. We had a girl first. Sit there in your lap for hours and hours, book after book. Second child, boy. Rip the pages out of those same books, you know, because that was just more interesting. Yeah, so I definitely understand. So the last question we have is what advice would you give to someone who wants to live their faith through their life? They really want to do this, but they're not really sure where to begin. What advice would you give them?
That's really going to depend on where they're at. In their walk, if they're just starting out in their faith, if they've been faithful for a lot of years and then fell off, but ask for help or seek help. That's the number one thing. Again, living in the faith community that I live in here in Clarkston surrounding areas, I would put somebody that was asking that question in touch with any of my friends that go here, or anybody that's aligned with Calvary Lutheran, because it's not always about being perfect. It's about trying, and you'll never get there if you don't try.
Right.
That, and when you feel, you know, God's pull, I say God's pull, but when you feel that little pull or that tug, like maybe I should talk to that person, or maybe, you know, they probably do need it. And it's amazing how helping can help you further your faith.
Sure.
Because without helping, it's going to be really hard to, you know, advance or put yourself in other people's shoes or things of that nature. So
I think it's attributed to Wayne Gretzky, although I don't know if he actually said it, but he said you never make the shot that you don't take.
That's it.
You know, so you know, put yourself out there.
And it's so easy not to take the shot.
Sure. Whether you're someone searching, or whether you're a person of faith who recognizes that someone is searching, and how can you be a vessel for them to direct them towards God. It's sort of a risk on both sides, but it's a risk that, you know, as people of faith we're called to make, and it goes back to the same thing you talked about earlier. It's how does it get easier? Practice.
It's amazing how much easier it does get, you know, with practice. And not only that, but how good it is for you. You know, in your soul. Because I don't know if you're like this, but I'm one of those people, if I don't do something like that, or if I just let, you know, an opportunity go by, well, that's going to be with me the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be thinking about, you know, that thing. So I've had to just model, do it, get it done. Otherwise, it's going to bug me for for way too long. I think that's a God component. We built that in there, right?
Yep. I think that's God's little kick in the keister. Yeah. Get moving. Well, you know, I really appreciate your time today. And You have the business you have is Mr. Steam Cleaning.
Yep. We've got Mr. Steam Cleaning, a carpet and upholstery cleaning company. We bought that 14, 15 years ago now, the wife and I. And so got two great Clarkson grads working for us. So that's fun. Also, I'm a realtor, property manager with North Bloomfield Properties. We manage about 3,000 homes as a company. But again, we can buy, sell, do whatever you need. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for being a guest on Talk to the Hand, and this will be out in the next couple of days. So, and happy birthday again.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited. Pastor Bob, thanks for having me. It's this has been a really fun experience.
Mission and outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with 35 pounds of non-perishable items to our neighbors and local agencies Wednesday mornings at our Clarkston campus. The boxes are then distributed between 9 and 12 to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be a part of this amazing ministry and serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org, under Hunger Initiatives. The Baldwin Center currently serves between 12 and 1,500 sandwiches per week to people experiencing homelessness. As part of our ongoing partnership, Calvary has a fresh new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. Each week we make 300 sandwiches, and then they're taken down to the Baldwin Center where they're distributed on Fridays. The Baldwin Center reminded us that being part of this ministry is important, as the sandwich we provide might be the only food their clients receive for the day. Serving opportunities for the Baldwin Center Sandwich Ministry are shoppers, meat slicers, sandwich makers, and packers. Calvary PPE protocols may include facial coverings, and social distancing might be required. If you're interested, contact Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or hunger@calvary-lutheran.org. We're also looking for sponsors to support this program, providing 1 week of 300 sandwiches cost around $150. That's about 50 cents per sandwich. To help sponsor this effort, click and select Hunger Initiative on Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. The Handy Ministry. Do you like helping our neighbors with small home repairs or projects? We are looking for people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction rehab projects in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are welcome. If you're interested, please reach out to Pastor Bob at bhegdal@calvary-lutheran.org. Well, that's all the time that we have for this episode, episode number 8. And until next time, keep making those faith and daily life connections, as you might be the first or only Bible that some people may ever read.